Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Tonight I want to talk a little bit about what fasting is and how we do it and why we do it and kind of that process. So as we go into this, that it's not just me and Heather doing it and just a few of us, that all of us as a body are you know, in the spirit of this together and going after this together, that we're praying together, that we're fasting together, because we need God to show up and do something. Because we can just go through the year, another year, and just mark it up and say, hey, 2018 was great, 2019 is going to be my best year yet. But what if we did some things in order to make 2018 our best year yet, right? We aren't promised tomorrow. We're promised here today. So we should make the most of today while it's still called today. So I just believe that God is going to do some great things as we come corporately to seek him. He's going to do great things in our midst, and he's going to do great things in our individual lives and in our families, because we're doing some extra things to say, God, I need to see you move. God, will you move in my life? Anybody else have some things where you're believing God for? Some things you need that only God can do in your life, right? I've got both of my hands raised and my pinky toes are raised, because come on, I got a list. If you don't make a list at the beginning of the year of what you know, your goals are, the things that you want to accomplish, but the things that you want to see God do, I encourage you, when you get home tonight over the next few days, write those things down. If you're married, do those things together and do them separately. You should have your own list, but you should have your list as your, you know, as a couple, you should have those things. And so I encourage you to do that and begin, you know, don't put it on a piece of paper somewhere or a notebook that's going to get lost. You need to, you know, recount it on a regular basis. So put it somewhere, keep it in a book that you're going to have with you. If it's in your phone, whatever that means, keep it with you so you can keep it in front of you so you don't lose sight of it. So tonight we're going to talk about fasting. Fast forward 2018, 2K18, like the NBA game. Pastor Justin knows what I'm talking about. All right. Simply stated, biblical fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. That's the biblical definition of fasting. There wasn't social media when Noah was around for him to fast social media. Jesus didn't have to fast Instagram. He just didn't have it. So biblical fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. So this is the baseline for what we're talking about. And we're going to start by looking tonight in Matthew chapter 6. And in this passage of scripture, Jesus is preaching to the multitudes. He's come out of his time in the wilderness, and here he's preaching the Beatitudes, right? All the good things, you know, that we're supposed to do. And then he gets into this beautiful chapter of Matthew 6. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's red letters. It's just a beautiful passage of scripture. And Jesus outlines in this passage three very specific spiritual disciplines that we are supposed to do. And the way that he words them is that it's a very assumptive kind of language. Like, he assumes that we are doing these things because we're following him, right? That's his language, is like, when you do these things. It's not like, hey, it would be nice if you would do these things. It's when you do these things, like when you breathe, breathe out, that type of thing, like, right? Like, when it's cold outside, put a jacket on. This is the type of language Jesus is using. And these three things are giving, they're praying, and they're fasting. That's what they are. So as we look at these things, as Matthew 6 starts out, the first four verses are, he's talking about when you give. When you give, don't do it like the heathens do, like, well, they want everyone to see how much they gave, and they want to make a spectacle about it. He says, actually, when you give, do it in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you openly, right? And then in verse 5, he starts talking about praying. And it's the same kind of thing. Don't be like the hypocrites who like to, you know, oh, dear Heavenly Father, did everyone hear me when I'm praying, right? Not that kind of praying, right? And this is what he says in verse 6. He says, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, right? This is where we encounter him, is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, right? And then he goes on and he gives us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. In verse 16, it goes on and he says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who, with a sad countenance, right? They're walking around, oh, I'm fasting right now. I'm so hungry, I haven't had a pizza in 13 days. I just don't know how I'm going to make it. It says, for they disfigure their faces that they might appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's some harsh language right there. It's not mine, though. It's Jesus. It says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Brush your teeth. Bring some certs with you so that you have nice breath. You guys can't have certs. That's right. Depends on the fast that you have. You might not be able to have certs. But have something, have some nice breath, put some cologne on, some deodorant, you know, look nice, put on your best dress, wash your head and your face so that you do not appear to be fasting, right? But to your Father who's in the secret place, there he is again, he's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, we serve a God who sees what we do in secret. The good and the bad, right? He sees what we do in secret. And this is what fasting is it's not an outward spectacle. Yes, we talk about it and we teach about it. And, you know, I share, Heather and I talk about it. We keep each other accountable. There's an element of that, but it's not going out and putting it on display. Hey, look what I'm doing. Aren't I spiritual? Right? It's not that. It's between me and the Lord, and it's this process here of fasting. So it's in this that we're doing these spiritual disciplines, and that's really what it is, because fasting, I've got to tell you, is not like a fun thing. It's not easy, and your stomach's going to come along if you fast food, and it's going to tell you it's too hard, that you're too hungry, that it's too outrageous, 21 days is too long to fast, and even well-intentioned friends and family members might come, try to talk you out of it and say, well, you know, that's just, but I'm telling you, there's something about when we practice spiritual disciplines, when we make the outward come under control of the inward spiritual desire, right? That God does something and he begins to move in the process. And it's in the process of doing this that we think we're going to see, okay, I fasted one day, Lord, I still haven't heard. It's usually not in the fasting that we see the answer or we get what we're looking for. It's afterwards that we see the breakthrough. And in this process of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going through, right? And he gives all these things. He gives us these three spiritual things that we're supposed to do, giving, praying, fasting. And he kind of concludes all of these thoughts by saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, right? He says it three times. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you have. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. When you pray, don't worry. When you give, don't worry. When you fast, don't worry. And he concludes it with this thought. He says, but instead of doing those things, instead of worrying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. This is why we, as a church, we do fasting every year at the beginning of the year, because we want to seek God first. We're going to say, God, I'm going to give you the first part of this year, and I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to set you, God, more important than the things that everything else in the world is trying to tell me that are important, right? I'm going to set you first, and I'm going to seek you first. We do it in the secret. There was a story, an old American Indian story about this chief. And anytime some of the young men would grow up and they'd want to be part of the fighting force, he made them do this test. There was a test they had to pass in order to become part of the fighting force. And they had to climb up to the summit of this mountain there near where their village was. And this climb to this mountain was grueling. It was difficult. It was hard terrain, and it was not a 5-minute voyage, and they made it up there. It was no rock climbing wall. This was a serious mountain. They had to climb up there on their own and figure it out. And lots of these young men claimed to have done it, but the chief always knew those who had done it and those who hadn't, because when they would come back after their time of climbing the mountain, he would ask them this one question: "Tell me what you saw when you got to the top." I'm pretty sure the chief had been there, right? And he always knew the ones who had and hadn't been. And so the ones who had been to the top, they would come back and they would say, "I've seen something I've never seen before. I've seen the ocean. I've seen the sea." See, it allows us to see beyond what they knew, because all they knew was this mountain and their village was on this side. But when actually they went through this task and they climbed all this way and they went through all this difficulty and weathered all these storms and things and got up to the top, they actually saw beyond what all they had been living and all they ever knew, and they could see something they'd never seen before. And this is a picture of fasting, because it's not easy. It's not something that just comes just because we think it's nice. It comes because we set ourselves, we give up some things, we push hard when it's painful, when we're hungry, when we're tired, when we think it's too much, and, you know, things, people are saying whatever. We push beyond all that, we work through all that, and we get to the end, and we get to the top, and we see God do something we haven't seen before. We see Him do something in our lives, speak to us in ways we hadn't heard before when we get to the top. But those that just pretend that they got to the top never get to that point. See, we've got to push past that point and get to the top where we begin to see what God is doing in our lives. And we see something we haven't seen before. This is what fasting is like. It's climbing this mountain. It's the private, internal discipline, spiritual discipline, right? That's what it is. Jesus showed us this model of fasting. There's lots of people that fasted throughout the Bible. Jesus is one of them. He fasted for 40 days. It's a long time to fast, y'all. Woo! Praise Him. We're only going 21, right? 21 days without some Jets pizza. That's a tough deal. But I'm getting all my pre-fast food in. That's what I love about this week is I've got pre-fast food that I'm getting in. Hamburgers, steaks. I'm going to get a bold pep in there sometime. Going to get some pre-fast food in there. Praise Him. That's all right. Just real talk right there, you guys. But Jesus actually fasted for 40 days, and there's two accounts of this. This is in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, and it's actually two chapters right before He preaches the sermon to us about when you give, when you pray, when you fast. He's in the wilderness, and He's fasting for 40 days. And in Matthew 4, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Interesting. That's a message right there. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. "And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, He was hungry." Isn't that funny that Scripture puts that detail of the passage in there? That He was hungry. It doesn't tell us what His fast was. It just says that He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, He was hungry. Yes, you would be hungry too. And you will be. It's just Scripture's letting us know that this is part of the deal. When you're fasting, you will encounter hunger. And that's a good thing. Right? And it's here, we know the story. The devil comes to Jesus and he says, "If you really are the Son of God," right? The devil came each of the three times to tempt Him and attacked His identity. "If you're the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread." And, you know, Jesus combated that with, "It is written," right? Each time the devil comes to Him, He combats his, you know, identity of who He is. Well, if you're really the Son of God, then the angels will catch you when you throw yourself off this. "It is written," right? "If you're really the Son of God, then, you know, you bow down and worship Me and I'll give you all those kingdoms and all this power and all this wealth. It is written," right? Right? This is the process that Jesus went through, right? And this is the process we will go through. And, you know, same thing is going to happen is that while you're fasting, temptation is going to come. And it's going to smell real good, you guys. You're going to be driving down Colonial, you know, and you get up there by Alafaya where all the, you know, Bahama breeze is. And your windows are going to be down and because it's going to be 70 soon. And you're going to be like, "Jesus is Lord. It is written, man shall not live by Bahama breeze alone." Right? Come on. I'm just telling you guys. But here's the exciting part. After His fast, Jesus comes out of this temptation by the devil, and it says that He came out of that in the power of the Spirit. It says that in Luke chapter 4. It says Jesus returned from this time in the power of the Spirit. And the same thing happens with us. When we fast, we come out of the fast with the power of the Spirit working in our lives. And we'll see things we hadn't seen before. God will move in our lives in ways we hadn't before. Things that we're believing for, we say, "God, I'm going to set aside these things because I'm just desperate for You. I've got to have You. And I just need You to speak to me so I know what to do in this year. God, I need You to move in my family because it's falling apart and I don't know what to do. God, I need You to break the power of this thing off of my life that I've been trying to shake and I can't seem to shake it. And God, I just need You to do something in my life." See, this is what fasting does. This is the breakthrough that comes when we fast and we come to the top of that mountain. Then we step out in the power of the Spirit. Come on, y'all. This is a place to get excited. This is the reason for fasting right here. This is fasting. See, fasting does some natural things for us too, right? Fasting, if you choose to do a food fast, and in a few minutes we'll talk about the different types of fast. But when you fast food, it also cleanses our natural body. It does, right? because sometimes, you know, life just happens and things come our way, but fasting brings cleansing through our body because we're not eating everything that just comes our way. We're not eating certain things, so cleansing happens. Some discomfort happens, so I just let you know these things so that as we start this fast on Sunday, you're like, Pastor made fasting sound real great. Why am I in pain right now? Because that's fasting, right? But we're crucifying the flesh, right? We're going to set aside the external desires, and we're not going to let those rule and call the shots, right? Our spiritual desires for God, for more of Him, for His movement in our lives, for more of His anointing, for wisdom and direction in our lives. We're going to set aside all those things. We're going to crucify our flesh, right? Jacob and Esau were deceived by that kind of hunger for food, right? We know in the story, Isaac and Esau were deceived and gave in to this hunger for food, right? Isaac, he said to Esau, he's like, hey, go out and make me some meal, right? So Esau went out and came back, and Isaac was just, he was so hungry for this that he could have probably discerned that this is goat skins on Jacob's arms and not really Jacob, not really Esau. Think about that for a minute, right? He had a goat hair on his arm versus like actual like a person. Like, I'm not trying to criticize Isaac, but there's a point in there where he was more interested in the meal than making sure the blessing went to the right person, right? Same thing with Esau, right? Esau came back in from the field at a different time, and he had the right. He had the blessing. It was already his. He didn't have to do anything to earn it. It belonged to him. The birthright was his, right, as the firstborn son. He comes in from the field. He's so hungry, so consumed by this desire, this fleshly desire, that he couldn't control it, that he sold his birthright, his blessing, his right towards spiritual things for a bowl of red beans. He gave in to this lust for food in his life. And this still happens today in our world, right? Still happens sometimes as people are fasting. It still happens. Oh, I broke my fast. I gave in. Like, and it's not a thing of condemnation, but it's just knowing that these attacks and these temptations are going to come. And it's just setting our resolve to say, God, we're going to seek you. We're going to have even accountability in those times. Hey, I am really struggling. And we've had these discussions before. I'm really struggling with needing a hamburger today. No, you know, so I encourage you in this fasting to have this accountability, right? But see, fasting empties ourselves of everything else, of all the junk, of all the rubbish, so that God can then fill us. That's what we're doing. We're saying, God, empty me of all this other stuff so that you can fill me, right? Because sometimes naturally things just accumulate, right? Because sometimes something can be clean and nice and beautiful and it just sits there. And just naturally over the course of time, it just needs to be cleaned again, right? Things just get messy and dirty. There's a story of this in the Bible. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And King Hezekiah just became king of Judah. And before him, all the other kings had worshipped the other gods. They had been defeated by their enemies. And the king actually said, King Ahaz said, well, since I was defeated by this other king who serves this god, I'll serve his god because he defeated me. And so they stopped worshiping at the temple. They shut the doors, actually, and they just began worshiping all these other gods. Well, King Hezekiah came in and says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he actually came in and he opened the doors of the temple and he told the priests who were no longer in service, he said, come back and let's get things in order. And here's what happens in 2 Chronicles 29:3. It says, in the first year of his reign, Hezekiah, in the first month, he opened the doors to the house of the Lord and he repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and he gathered them in the east square. See, God had East Orlando on his mind in 2 Chronicles. He said it in the east square and he said to them, hear me, Levites, sanctify yourselves. Right? Sanctify yourselves. That's on us to do. Sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Rubbish is fancy word for trash. It's trash. Trash. Now you're telling me there was trash inside of the most beautiful, the most important, the most sacred building in Israel and Judah? There was trash in there? In the temple of the Lord, there was trash? Yeah. See, what had happened was that outside on the east side of Jerusalem, there was this pit in the valley of Gehenna where they would take all their trash, and there was a fire there that burned all the time. So people would have to take their trash out about a mile out and dump it there. But over the course of this time, now they're no longer worshiping the Lord God. They're worshiping all these other things. The temple's closed up. There's no priest. Naturally, I don't want to walk all that way. And trash began to accumulate up. Hezekiah came in and said, no. Before we do anything else, we're going to empty out the trash. We're going to empty this out so God can come in, so God can move. This is a picture of fasting for us. Fasting is taking out the garbage of our lives, all the things that accumulate, all the things that, whether on purpose or just naturally, come our way, and, you know, in media and all these things, we're just going to clear all that stuff out, get the rubbish out. We're going to spiritually take out the trash and clean things up so that we can be filled with the Spirit of God, right? This is what fasting is. So a couple different types of fasts, some practical things, because there are several different types of fasts. And I would just encourage you not to try to copy somebody else's fast, but to pray and ask the Lord and say, God, what would you have me fast? There is something that he wants you to fast. Whether, you know, don't try to take on my convictions about it. Pray and ask the Lord what he would have you fast, and then do that. Okay, so a couple types of fast is a complete fast. That's where you don't eat anything. You just are water and some juices. You know, that's a real deal right there. You know, and some people can do that and some people can't. But that is one type of biblical fast. Another type of fast is a partial fast. This is like a Daniel fast, right? That's where you don't eat meats, sugars, and breads, right? So you're eating fruits and veggies and, you know, nuts and stuff like that. That's a Daniel fast. And that is from, you can read about that in the Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel was taken captive into another land, and he came and he was given all the very best of the king's food to eat, all everything the king had to eat. He offered to Daniel and his friends and an education and all these things of the world. And Daniel said, no, this goes against our dietary spiritual laws, so I'm not going to eat that. And there's a whole dialogue there he had with the king's servant about, we're going to not eat that for a set amount of time, and we're going to eat the fruits and the vegetables and those types of things. And this is where the definition of a Daniel fast comes from. And see if at the end, if we are not healthier and stronger and smarter. And sure enough, at the end they were. Daniel chapter 1, you can read the whole thing, the Daniel fast. There's other types of, you know, partial fast that you can do. I know some people have done, I'm fasting sweets, no sugars. That's a great fast to do, right? A partial fast like that. Another fast is doing like a Jewish fast would be like from sun up to sundown. I'm going to skip the main meals and then just enjoy the evening meal, right? I'm going to fast these other things, right? There's different types of fasts, and I encourage you, again, ask the Lord what he'd have you to fast. There's other types of fasts that aren't in the Bible and I think are just as good, and that's like a soul kind of fast, like not being on Instagram and Facebook. I know some of you are dying inside just hearing somebody say that, right? Sometimes maybe it's not having your phone out, maybe except for work. You know, maybe your work requires you to have a phone, and that's fine, but nothing else on the phone. Whatever that is, find that fast, and that's a great fast to do, and equally as effective as saying, I'm going to do a Daniel fast or a partial food fast, or I'm going to fast this. I know some people have fasted. I'm not having soda for, you know, the fast. I'm fasting soda. Sometimes fasting TV. I'm not going to fast TV. And if it's that thing for you, you're dying inside when you're like, no, I couldn't do without that. I'll not eat anything, but don't take my Instagram. Then that might be the thing you need to fast, because it's taken a wrong place in your life. Partial fast. As you fast, I want to give you a couple things. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these things down, because we want to target our fast. We're going to fast, and different lengths of fast are good for us. In this season, we're doing a 21-day fast. We're going to start on Sunday, January 7th, and go through the 27th. That completes the 21 days. And there's other lengths of fast in the Bible. It's 3-day fast, 7-day fast, obviously Jesus and his 40-day fast. But we're going to do this in this season as a 21-day fast. And for us, it's very strategic and it's very targeted. It's not just randomly, God, just just be greater in my life. And that's good. But for us, we're specifically, strategically doing it at the beginning of the year to say, God, this part of the year is yours. Before anything else, before we do anything else, this is yours strategically. That's why we do it every year in January at the start. And we also target it specifically. So there's things in my own life that I'm believing God for, and I've written them down. There's things that I'm believing God for in our church that I've written down. And some, God, as I'm fasting, I'm seeking your face for this thing, these things. God, I am desperate. I cannot do this without you. Right? And it's because we want him. We've got to have him move. We've got to see him move in our lives, right? Because we've all been through the years where it's us trying to make it happen. We've all done the things where it's just based on me and what I'm able to do. And isn't that why so many people are like, I just don't need to have resolutions because they never work out, right? Man, I cannot do what I felt like God has called me to do without more of him, right? And it's strategic, so it's targeted. And I've written down, and every day I rehearse it in my prayer time with the Lord. God, I know you're going to do these things. God, I believe you're going to do these things. So I encourage you to do the same thing in your own life and family. Target some things specifically. God, as I'm fasting these 21 days, I'm believing you for this specific thing. And as you pray each day, say these things to him. Target it. Be specific. And even for us as a church, I'm not the only one who can pray for God to do great things in our church, right? You notice I didn't say my church. I said our church, because it's just as much your church as it is Pastor Justin's church, as it is my church, as it is Laura May's church, as it is Julie's church, as it is Abby's church. It's all of our church, right? And if we really believe the things we talk about and we say, then man, we need to see God move in our church so that we can impact our community and really make a difference this year and advance in the things that he's called us to do. So I challenge you too. Hey, write down some things that you're believing God to do in our church that you want to see, because I believe that as we do, as we come together in unity, that one of us is good. Scripture says one can put 1,000 enemies to flight. Two has exponential power, 10 times. Two can put 10,000 to flight. There's more than two of us here in this room. Man, there's power in our unity. So as we're being specific, that's number one. Be specific. Be specific in your prayers. Be specific in your fast. Define it. Have somebody that's going to keep you accountable. Be specific, right? Number two, we're fasting. We're recognizing that it's a spiritual commitment. It's a spiritual commitment. Fasting is a spiritual commitment. It's not an outward, it's an inward spiritual commitment, right? In Daniel, when he was defining how he went through this fast, you can read about it in Daniel chapter 1 in verse 8. He says, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile on himself. In the inward, he decided. Because if it's the outward deciding, the outward is just driven by the wind, right? It is just decided on a whim, right? But when we purpose in our heart, when we're saying my spirit will rule and my flesh will come under control of what my spirit decides, it's a spiritual commitment. So number one, we're being specific. Number two, we're setting ourselves. It's a spiritual commitment. Number three, we're going to reflect inner desire by outward discipline. Number three, we reflect inward desire by outward discipline, right? So many times people, especially at the start of this time of year, they have that inward desire for better health, right? But they don't make any changes, or they make a week's worth of changes and then it fades off, right? But we understand the inward process that's happening here. We're inwardly being renewed. We're inwardly removing the rubbish. We're cleaning out the space for God. And naturally, things also happen as we do that, right? Our mind is renewed. There's something amazing when you fast and you cut out some of the things, the processed things in our food that we eat. Your body begins to operate in more health and begins to function more effectively, right? And your brain begins to operate at a higher level because you've removed some of the natural trash in the stuff that we eat. And we said, I'm just going to eat these things. And it's amazing. And some of you are like, man, I'm going to eat like this all the time. It'd be amazing how you wake up in the morning and man, you're ready to go. And it's amazing how much clearer you hear the word of the Lord speaking to you. Hear his voice clear. And it's hard to describe other than it's just clarity. just brings clarity to you. It's inward desire, and it brings outer discipline. That means that, yeah, there are outward fleshly benefits that come from it, like more health. I know people that have fasted and they're like, man, I'm not fasting to lose weight, but I'm losing weight because I'm fasting. Right? There's outward things that happen, but it's driven by the inward, right? And then this lastly, number four, we yield all the results to God. Right? Again, because it's not about us deciding or driving the train. We're moving ourselves out of the driver's seat and we're saying, God, you be in the driver's seat. The results are yours, Lord. The outward results, the inward results, God, are yours. What you want to do. When I get to the top of this mountain, I'm going to see what you want me to see. Not what I've always known, because what I've always known is at the foot of this mountain. What I can see up the mountain, what looks difficult, what looks impossible. You know, what looks familiar, what looks safe, what looks like I know, and I know how to provide for myself in this space. This is all that I know. But when I get to the top of this place and I see God beyond what you want me to see, it's not based on anything that I do. And everything that happens there is in the power of the Spirit. It's the results that God is bringing. So I'm yielding those results to God. I'm not saying I've done anything great. God has done something great in and through my lives. So these are the four things as we go through our fast and our 21 days that we want to target as we fast. We want to focus on and recognize these things happening in our lives. So you guys receive that tonight? It's good. I know it's not like one of those messages where, like, you know, people are jumping up and shouting and Instagram posting, oh, that was, you know, double fire, you know, emojis with it and stuff. But that's all right, because it's just spiritual growth for us, right? It's this process of spiritual growth of, you know, hey, it's not easy. It's not comfortable. And that's how you know that God is doing something in your life, right? Where you're stretching, where you're growing, where you're allowing him to say, hey, this is the way. Go this way, right? Because we can pray all day, God, let me be led by your Spirit. Give me wisdom in what you want me to do. God, help me to know the things you have for me. And then, yet when he speaks to us, we kind of conflict at them. We're like, well, that seems hard. Right? Hard things, you know, are spiritual things. Right? If it was just easy, everybody would do it. But everybody doesn't do it. So if we're going to advance with him, we're going to have to do some more difficult things. We're going to have to sacrifice some things we love for some things we love even more. Right? So as we come into this 21 days of fasting, we're going to have some nights of prayer here at the Team Center. So I want to invite all of you guys to be part of that. So during that 21 days, each of those 21 days, the 7th through the 27th, we'll have 30 minutes of prayer here at the Team Center. There'll be different people from the church leading that each night. But I encourage you, whatever nights you can come, if you can come all 21 days, great. If you can come one day, great. However many days you can come, come and just be part of that. It'll be 30 minutes, be from 7 to 7:30. We're going to end at 7:30. It's not going to be like 10:30 and you're like, we're just having a prayer meeting, because I believe that God is a God of order. He does things decently and in order. And there are times for that when the Spirit moves and all that, but we're going to also do things in order. So we're going to come together. We're going to be specific with our time. Say, God, we're going to seek you every day for these 30 minutes as a church from 7 to 7:30. So I invite all of you guys who will be here to come whatever night you can to that. And it'll be great. And we can, you know, there won't be any snacks. So I heard about a church one time that had snacks at their fasting meeting. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Maybe it was carrot sticks, but it's more fun to laugh about if it was something like Oreos, desserts, you know. Let me pray for you tonight.